Metaphorical cat. They're pretty expensive, but they're worth it, okay? Welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse the Nerds Way. My name is John. Just John. I don't have a last name. They banned it. They took it from me as a punishment for...
You lost your name. Ooh. As Ori would say, that is a terrible thing to have. I shall give you a new name. Ready?
Okay.
I'm scared. Is going to be called...
This is taking
suspense.
A while.
No, I'm trying to build the suspense. Okay. Good
grief. They probably think the podcast is broken.
Everybody's just now checked their phone, just like, no, it's not.
What's the time, by the way, person listening?
Yeah, just let us
10:32?
Know.
10:32? Imagine if it was.
Magnificent. That'd be good. Anyway, yes, hi. I'm Maximus Decimus Mortius Matius Mortalis Meridius III. It is a pleasure to be here.
Can you say that again?
Maximus Decimus Mortius Matius Mortalis Meridius III.
Okay, I believe you that is your real name. Mm-hmm. And what happened to Adam that we used to have on the show?
Adam, he was a sweet boy, far too kind and loving. Adam was, but there's always different hearts in a man or a woman. So I had to kill Adam and take over. I'm the darker half.
Oh, wow. The darker half.
Yes.
Whew, that's a scary thought. Okay, so yes, what are we going to talk about in today's episode?
So we've got a spreadsheet. I mean, if you after Christmas, I'm sure everybody's just and New Year's as well.
20
by the way,
kilos heavier.
Happy 2019, everyone. By the way, we have made it. The apocalypse has not happened yet. Give it time.
Yeah, probably sometime this year.
It's a slow burn. I mean, I've already read like 4 different articles about people predicting the end of the world this year. So
this year,
yeah, this year. So fingers crossed. You never know. But anyways, yes, I'm sure after all the festivities and all the parties that you've been going to,
joyous family,
I have not been going to any. It's been wonderful, but I'm sure you are just tired and just weary. So we've got a nice, comfortable, easy spread for you all for the first episode of 2019.
Kick back, relax. Unless it so happens that you're, in the middle of, work.
We always must say in, disclaim, never kick back and relax whilst driving.
Yes.
Never go on your phone whilst driving.
Yes. I forgot to say that disclaimer earlier because we have been sued multiple times.
Oh, hundreds of times,
which
yeah.
is why we have such a low budget for the show.
Indeed, and they can't find us either, so that works out quite well. Yeah. I live in the woods, and John has so many crypto coverings and securities around him, he just can't be found.
I mean, except for the fact that we literally have Twitter accounts.
It's true, yes. But anyway, so strap in and enjoy yourself for Surviving the Apocalypse of the Nerds Way 2019.
Bam,
bam, bam, bam, bam.
Cold open. That's new for us.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about New Year's resolution.
Indeed. So every... John, if you could.
What?
I said the word.
Oh, yes. We are not allowed to say the word, indeed, because it gets too repetitive. And now that we've mentioned that fact, now you'll notice it whenever we do.
Indeed.
So we apologize. We made it worse. So now Adam just said it again. So now that's 2. Plus, in the last episode, he said about 5,000 times, but proceeded to call me up on it.
I did.
And I'm pretty sure, straight after that, you proceeded to say it, 3 times.
I know, I did. I don't know why I do it. I think it's just buried into my subconscious now.
It's because we're doing a podcast together. We're trying to agree with each other. And it's it's better than, yes, Adam,
I almost said it again.
Yeah,
even.
Just say another example. But you can't. Anyway, so we need to do this quickly before we get off. We're talking about New Year's resolutions. But before I need to slap him, as is our rule.
As is the rule.
If you say the I word.
Oh, let me just take off my glasses.
Oh, wow. This is,
and my headset.
I'm not very good. I've never slapped anyone
Frenier,
before.
Give me strength.
Did you know that, Adam?
You've never slapped anyone before?
My first slap.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I mean, geez, I hope you enjoy yourself. This is going to be great for both of us.
I'm really looking forward to it. So 3, right?
2. I didn't say it the third time. I stopped myself.
Oh, okay. So we're not counting last episode.
Yeah, if you could do one on each cheek as well. I like the colour to be spread properly. It's like a nice blush. All right, here we go.
Oh, I've got to get ready.
Thank goodness I'm growing my beard at the moment. I might cushion the blow a little. All right, here we go. Oh, nice. And this one. Holy crap.
I knocked over the microphone.
He used the same hand twice, like a. He's done a forehand and a backhand.
Imagine if I did both at once.
It's like watching a tennis play with my face. So
I should have filmed it in slow motion. You can just see the skin. We'll do that next time.
Yeah, I've got a nice bit of coloration now, so that should go well.
Rosy pink. I've just done new.
Now I'm
going
to try and bait you into do it.
I'm not going to fall for it.
So we're talking about New Year's resolutions.
New Year's resolutions. What are your resolutions?
So everybody makes New Year's resolutions, right?
Well, not me. I make new day resolutions because I'm so bad at keeping them. Every new day, I'm like, all right, let's start again. Diet starts on Monday is my commonly heard.
Yeah, because you need a diet. Goodness gracious, I'm the one that needs the diet. That's going to be fantastic. I'm not going to be on one, though, because that's a terrible idea. I like my pizza and I want to diet when I'm 40. So
please don't. We'll only just be gaining traction in the podcast audience.
So obviously generalization, but a lot of people make New Year's resolutions. They last for a couple of weeks and then it's over.
Yes.
But with that being said, I don't make resolutions. I like making what I call themes. So I have a theme for the overall year.
I like this.
So previous years past, I've had joy, trying to find joy in small things. I've had contentment, you know, just trying to be peaceful and mindful and content. And so I have these type of themes that run through the year. It's not fitness goals. It's not eating healthy because those things can be very temporary. Because they can be very temporary. So for mine this year, because I am a social hermit, I shun human contact and hiss at people as they walk past my house. I have elected this year to make the theme community. So to engage in the community a bit more for myself. So I'll be attending things more often, seeing people more often. Basically, my worst nightmare come to life. So I'll be doing that.
And the good news is, now he said it on the podcast, we can all hold him accountable.
Yeah, because that has happened in the past.
Oh, yeah. When are we doing the zombie run again, Adam?
I don't even know what that is, John.
We're going to have a new segment called Adam Was Adam a Hermit? Was Adam a Hermit? Yeah!
Now that has to be the tag for it. Yeah. Wonderful. Yep. So yes, that is my personal resolution, so to speak.
I like it a lot. Yeah. I like the idea of themes because the problem with resolutions, and you touched on it a bit already, but the problem is, say for instance, if you say, I'm going to eat healthy, and you go a month and you do it, but then another month passes and you kind of do it, and then a third month passes and you just completely blow it. Well, then you've no longer got that onus to keep doing it. You're just kind of like, I failed my resolution. But with a theme, you can keep going back to it no matter how many times you might fail. No, I'm not saying you're going to fail.
I will fail at times, though. That's the thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
we can probably accept that.
I enjoy... See, that's why I like themes over, like... Yeah. What is a resolution? Hold on. I'm going to bring this up.
Okay? We're going to Webster's Dictionary. Are you doing a, like, wedding speech? Webster's Dictionary defines marriage as a union between... Okay.
So, a resolution. It is a firm decision to or not to do something. The quality of being determined or resolute. So...
Yeah.
I mean, that's not as powerful as in my head I made it to be. You know, someone resolves to do something, then they do it. But in this case, I just prefer themes over because if you fail, if you have a resolution, right, and you continually fail, you come to the point where, what's the point? You know, I've already failed, exactly. There's no point. But with a theme, it's just a constant thing. Yeah, it's not so much a failure. It's more of just not a goal. It's just something to weave into your existence.
Okay. I like this a lot. So my New Year's resolution, I've got this, this is kind of it's a bit embarrassing, but I have this document that I've kept since uni days, which is called My Awesome Plan, because I was like, one day I was just like, you know what I want to be is awesome. Now, I don't actually, like, that's a bit of a non-goal there. But it kind of stuck. It's better than like New Year's resolution document or something because it's ongoing.
Yes.
So I have a few things in there, which is like I want to establish a bit of a routine during the day, which is, you know, wake up, make your bed straight away. But that I have already not done and it's only like 4 days in. And things like that, like I want to make sure I do at least one day of music production because I really like music production. Try to do fitness 3 days a week, but I should probably lower that to two because 3 days a week is already too much. I used to be big into triathlons and all that and I would exercise like heaps.
Are you actually going to be doing triathlons this year?
Oh, no, I won't be doing that.
No? Okay.
But I will be trying to train up gymnastics and running.
Ah, right.
But I used to be much better, but now even 3 days is a bit hard because of the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try if I can fit it into my schedule that I've already got. So instead of taking the train all the way into work, I can get off at a station before and take a shortcut through, like do a few Ks of running and get to work and have a shower there. So like there's ways of integrating it in. So I have no excuse like, oh, I had to get back to the baby. It's like, well, no, it was actually quicker because I was able to take a shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm ranting on for too long, but there's stuff like that basically.
Mm.
And one of the things, I think we talked about minimalism in a previous podcast.
Yes.
I want to make sure, this is something that I've already started last year, but make sure I throw away at least one of my physical possessions per day. Now, that may sound excessive, except when you realize that the average person has like 20,000 items in their possession and it's only 365 you're getting rid of.
But you keep your receipts. Everything.
Yeah, like this.
He's not a hoarder, by the way. I'd like to point out his house is fastidiously clean. There's not piles of newspaper or receipts or, you know, wild animals just lurking through his house. It is clean and wonderful.
Well, except for Roger Munn.
But he keeps his receipts and they're probably hidden away in what I like to call the shame drawer.
The shame
drawer. And it's not what it sounds like. It's just receipts.
There is the shame drawer. I mean, receipt drawer is actually a lot more empty.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be impressed. So I want to keep doing that and do a budget. Starting January 1st, I'm going to be basically copying in every of our expense and trying to make sure that we're staying on top of our finances.
Okay.
Good, secure financial future of the child. Anyway, this is all boring. Boring. If I were to have a theme though for the year, I would like to participate. I don't know if anyone listening to the podcast has noticed, but I have a lot of hobbies. So I've written two
Adam
novels.
Nods slowly. Yeah. Yes.
I've made like a whole bunch of different music, but it's not just like one style of music either. I like making soundtrack music. I like making music that sends you to sleep, like that album we heard last week.
How good was that?
And then I also like making funky dance music that you definitely can't sleep to.
Or dance to. No, I'm just kidding.
So what I like to do is instead of just like kind of doing this bit here that I like really feel like doing that day, I'd like to focus on maybe one thing at a time as much as I can.
Mm.
And probably the biggest thing for the year is I have a short film script written.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a bunch of friends who would be interested in helping. I want to get it done. And then perhaps we can have a little, I don't know, showing of it or something as an event.
That would be fun. By the way, just like to point out, I haven't been invited to assist with this, but that's
the
fine.
Short film. I haven't invited anyone except for my wife. So.
No, correct. I should be no
executive.
No.
Wait, no, you're already involved. Remember, you bought
The light. Yeah, what is it? I'm executive
light producer. Or
something like that. Yes,
for executive producer for lighting.
Yep. I'm cool with that.
So that was the first kind of step in building up everything I need to be able to make this film.
And I'm going to do the bad voiceovers.
So if I was to pick a theme for the year, it'd be to be able to
completion.
To create to completion, not just creation for the fun of it, which is really valuable. And I've really enjoyed the last like however many years of just like doing whatever I felt was fun that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll probably still do that, but I want to focus more on actually getting stuff out there.
Yeah,
and I think
it
started last year because I've actually got an album out. This is my first one that you can get on Spotify and iTunes.
Got to listen to a folk. Stuff.
Anyway, I have talked for way too long. Normally, this is like I look at the waveforms and it's like 100% Adam. It's like John talking for ages and everyone just tunes out. At least when Adam rants, it's interesting.
When I rant, it's because it's fury and people can always respond to fury. You've got passion. People respond to passion as well. But yes, listen to John's album because I listened to it when I was at work. And it's...
Did you fall asleep?
No, definitely no. I'd slept well, but
it's
was just
for
really nice. Yeah,
too,
like it was good ambient music, you know, like the perfect white noise background type of stuff. In fact...
There is white noise in the mix.
Yeah.
I add it to the background.
So you should totally, if you ever have people over and you just want to have that cool ambiance, you put that on in the background and people will just probably fall asleep. It'll be wonderful. And then you can steal their wallets yes. and their kidneys. That's how you get rich people. John's given you the means.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, I really like this theme idea. So if you want to email us your theme.
Yeah, we'll share it.
Or tweet us. Twitter.
You were about to say Twitter, weren't you?
Yeah.
Twitter us on Twitter. And
yeah, something. Mm-hmm. Comment on Spotify. I actually can't comment on Spotify. I just wanted to mention the fact we're on Spotify.
We're on Spotify now, really yeah. So I hope you enjoyed that. So yes, let us know your themes. I'd be very interested to see all your resolutions. I'd be really interested to see. And we will keep you accountable. We will yes. shout you out on the podcast yes. and be like, you, I don't know, Andrew Fingersfield, have you been eating healthier, sir?
I actually really like that idea. If you've got a resolution that you've done before and you haven't been able to keep on to it, mm-hmm. now you've got public accountability.
Yeah.
We will hold you to
we
it.
We will shame you.
I can't wait for this.
So anyways, so that is that
I
news.
Think we made that attractive, have we?
I do hope. I hope that this year will be glorious for us all. I do hope Cthulhu, the Lord of Madness and Despair, returns. And yeah, it'll be fantastic. So,
what was that Cthulhu bit?
Don't worry about that. Next.
Okay. I'm going to have to...
Wait, I think... Wait, there's that song. What is it? Ariana Grande. Thank you, next. I don't know how it goes. I just see memes of that all over the place.
It's a meme now.
Yep. I was going to make a loud noise, but then I realized Bethel's probably trying to be put down. So,
Okay.
Hey, restraint right here. Did you say restraint, John? I showed restraint.
Wow. I don't think anyone's ever done that before in their life.
No, maybe I haven't done it before in my life. So I didn't make a loud noise. And do you know why that is, John?
Because you wanted to keep my baby asleep?
No, nothing to do with that. It's because I watched A Quiet Place last night. Boom! Awesome segue.
Well, now you just made a loud noise.
Yeah, but now sound hunting aliens are going to come and kill us all.
Okay, so A Quiet Place. This movie, I feel like you have mentioned it on the podcast before saying we should watch it together, but you watched it without me.
Because you don't like scary movies.
Yeah, exactly. I was too scared.
And it's not scary.
You just knew I'd be too scared.
It's not really scary. So for our fine listeners.
Hang on. Wait.
Okay.
Because you say it's not scary, but your threshold is quite different to the average viewer. So It movie, was that scary?
I'd say it had elements of fear in it, definitely.
It was very intense, is what I'd say.
Yeah. I'd say, like I said, there was elements of fear. I can see how...
It just, yeah, it gets quite intense.
Yes. The music and everything like that is very... It pounds you like a hammer. It's just constantly shove... But there were moments of peace as well. They paced it out quite well. But when it really turned up, it...
It was good. 12.
Yeah, but it wasn't so much... The constant level of fear or tension. But anyway, we'll get to that because I've been recommended a couple of good movies. So, but with The Quiet Place, this was recommended to one of my friends and listeners, James.
And hi, James.
Hello, James. Yes, indeed. And this was, I don't know why I put it off so long. It wasn't anything so much as boredom or anything like that. It was just, it wasn't on any of the streaming services. So I rented it on YouTube last night after watching a different movie, we'll talk about that later.
Did it work okay? Did it stream all right?
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's an option if something's not on Netflix then for our fine viewers.
I do that quite a bit. Like if the movie that I want to watch is not on Stan, Netflix, Amazon, then I will shoot over to YouTube and watch it on there. You pay for it, obviously.
Yes, yes.
But anyway, so The Quiet Place is about alien invasions. It is an alien invasion because it's like Easter eggs throughout the movie. It's not a spoiler.
Okay.
Because it's literally in the opening, scene, essentially. So, it's about these aliens who hunt through echolocation, extraordinary echolocation. So, super sound sensitive. So, basically, they've decimated the world in 89 days, and that's where we pick up. And you see a family going through a town, trying to, not loot, so to speak, but just gather supplies. And... I'm not going to spoil things. Basically, the premise of the movie is you cannot make a noise that is out of the ordinary. So speech has to be done basically through a real soft whisper in a semi-loud place or sign language. I mean, if you're in a loud type of place, near a waterfall, which is in the movie, you can scream your head off and be fine. But anything out of the ordinary, these horror, like these awesome looking aliens will come and basically swipe you to pieces. And they don't eat you either. That's the thing. They just kill. There's no resource hunting for them. It's just killing.
Do you ever find out their motivations?
No, no, nothing like that, unfortunately. It just seems to be like a wiping out thing. Nothing that I could see anyways. So,
okay, a bit like antibodies getting rid of the human virus.
Could be. So it's basically, the movie follows this family, and it's written, directed, and starred in by John Krasinski.
And it's got Emily Blunt as the
husband and wife.
Co-star.
They're literally husband and wife in real life.
Really?
Yeah, Emily Blunt and John Krasinski. Yeah.
Hey, that's cool.
Yeah. And
so that was quality time together.
Yeah.
Is the child their real child?
Actually, I didn't look into that. That would be cool. But anyway, so he follows these people. The Emily Blunt, I can't remember her character's name. She's pregnant. So already, you know, things are going to go rough when, you know, these sound hunting aliens come, you know, hear a baby cry or the screams of labor. But it's really good. They've done a real good job with the sound in the movie. That's the theme for me for the movie. Themes, common theme this way, is sound. And they've done it spectacularly well. I'd really recommend checking it out. The graphics are good because they don't really focus so much on the monsters straight away. So it does leave a little bit to the imagination. And then there's obviously a reveal of what they look like, full body shots, things like that. But it did come to me that I hate children in the apocalypse.
Hang on.
Children in the apocalypse are literally the worst thing.
What about my
baby? Well, she's a baby, not a child.
Okay.
Children, anything under the age of 15, in my opinion, needs constant vigilance lest they do something stupid and end up getting sliced in half by a sound-hunting alien. So I would highly recommend, my dear listeners, if you have a child that is under the age of 15 and something horrible happens to this planet, you watch them and make sure they don't run off and make a lot of noise. But yeah, it's good movie. Check it out. It is, like I said, it's not scary. I didn't find any jump scares or anything like that. It's literally just, it's hard to explain. It's
tension.
Yeah. There's a bit of tension because any type of noise, you're just like, ooh. And it's best, I did it by having my headphones on in a dark room.
Yeah.
So just full engaged.
Oh, that's too much for me.
Oh yeah, it's so good. So good.
It's funny, when you watch horror, you try to make yourself as scared as possible. When I watch it, I'm like, turn all the lights on, make sure it's during the day, like watch a funny movie afterwards to like cope with it.
I think I've done that a couple of times. Like not the light thing, but having to watch something. Oh, that's what I've done. So I love watching scary like videos and what have you on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the, it was meant to be scary, but one of the funniest ones I have ever seen on YouTube was meant to be a cop car. This is fake, I'm positive. But this cop car pulls over is erratically moving car. And the police officer gets out of the car and walks up, you know, classic dash cam footage. And he knocks on the window. And the window goes down. You can kind of see with the angle of it. And he kind of looks in and is like, what the hell? Like leans in and then gets pulled inside and you hear all the rumbling and things like that. But then the door opens and garden gnomes kind of pull out and burst out of the boot and rush towards the other car. You hear the other cop like scream and start shooting. It was ridiculous and hilarious.
That's a good like palate cleanser after watching horror.
Yeah. But anyway, so
I must say, like with this A Quiet Place, I like horrors where it's like a simple concept. I'm not sure why you suddenly poked your head up like a meerkat. I guess you thought of something. But so like take for instance, I'm going to bring up my favorite show, Doctor Who. But Stephen Moffat was great at this. He would create aliens.
Yeah, he was
where
really good.
If you blink, then they get you. Or if you breathe, then they get you. Or they are just impossible to know if they're there or not. So they get you without you knowing. Or perhaps they don't exist. We're not sure still. So stuff like that where it's a simple concept and it just makes you think like, what if it was me? Like I was watching this episode with the ones that find you if you breathe. And it was actually really intense because you can breathe alongside with Clara, the main companion at the time. You can breathe in and see if you could have survived as long as she is. I couldn't do it. And she was walking around. But I guess with adrenaline, like you can do a bit more. But I like all this. And you were telling about another one, weren't you? The Black Box? Bird Box, sorry.
But just one more thing, because we've spoken about, stuck my head up like a meerkat, because I'm just like, oh, this rings my bell. We've spoken about something that could have been quite helpful in A Quiet Place.
Okay. You mean in a previous episode?
Yep, we talked about in episode...
What, our podcast was useful for people trying to survive the apocalypse?
Episode 4, we talked about making a certain...
anechoic chamber.
Yes, indeed. Yes. So if you're inside there, sound. Nothing is... they wouldn't even know you're alive. You just live in there for the rest of your life and
you
scream
just need
endlessly.
A lot of cans of beans.
Yes. Oh, not beans. That would not...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't create a good environment. I watched last night as well another movie called Bird Box. Now, I wasn't really interested so much in it. I've seen a lot about it on social media thus far. And it was, I thought, okay, I just need to watch something tonight. I've just had some pizza. I've had a whiskey. Let's watch something that could possibly get my tension rising.
Okay.
So I watched Bird Box and I'll say this. I liked it. There were, I think the child actor, the girl, was extraordinary. Her facial expressions and what you felt for her were just horrifying. It was brilliant. And I think, obviously, Sandra Bullock did a great job. I mean, Academy Award winner, Oscar winner, whatever she is. She's done incredibly well in this. So the premise of Bird Box is there are these, you don't know what they are, aliens, demons, not too sure. They are invisible, so to speak. You, as a viewer, do not see them. But if one of the characters in the movie see them, they instantly have the impulse to kill themselves or cause themselves severe harm, except if you are mad, such as crazy, me. you have this overwhelming joy, violent still, and you want to... you want other people to see it as well, which obviously causes sane people to stab themselves in the neck. So, or sit inside a burning vehicle, things like that, you know, crazy stuff, step in front of buses, all this. So, basically, Bird Box, you start with the title character. I can't remember her name. It's Sandra Bullock. Mallory, that's right. And the movie jumps between present and past. And she's saying, okay, to these two children, we're going on a trip down the river. It's going to be hard. It's going to be long. You've got to do exactly what I say or you're going to die, essentially. You know, pretty brutal to these kids. And then it jumps back to, you know, 8 years ago or whatever it is. And it basically shows you the beginning of how this all happened. And really good scenes, really good acting. I can't remember one of the cool guy's names. He worked really well. Oh, he's crazy. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I really recommend it. It's got good tension. I'd probably say if you compare this to A Quiet Place, I would say that Bird Box plays with your imagination more than A Quiet Place.
I like that. Because, I like imagination.
Yeah. Because with Bird Box, you don't actually see what it is. You can see some drawings of it occasion, or maybe some like interpretations. But it's really, really, really good. I highly recommend it because there is a challenge going out there at the moment on social media, which Netflix have come out to issue a statement saying, please do not participate in the Bird Box challenge.
Yeah.
Which is because the whole thing about Bird Box is sight. Another theme is sight. So... people have been going, like the whole thing is they're walking around with blindfolds essentially, which is
so
not
you have
an
to do basic
task.
Tasks like doing the washing, opening and closing doors with your blind. Whoa, that was a loud sneeze.
Bless me.
With yourself blindfolded. Yeah. Now, of course, Netflix is not supporting that because people can and probably have
hurt themselves.
Mm-hmm.
John, I challenge you. I'd like you to travel
Netflix
to work.
Netflix
told me not to.
I do take the train, so it wouldn't be like me driving around blindfolded. That just would not work and just be a terrible idea. But I could, it is a walk all the way to work.
Oh, you're actually considering
it. So if I had a stick, I could do it. There's a tricky bit with the stairs and the gap. Like, mind the gap when you're walking onto the train. I reckon I could get there. Hmm. It would take me a lot longer.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Oh, he's thinking about it. So, yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
You're just theoretically going through your head about how you could do it. So
I must admit, I Googled A Quiet Place, and the first thing that came up on Google was reasons why Bird Box and A Quiet Place are actually the same movie.
Oh, right. That's cool.
Just, I guess with two different senses.
Because after I watched Bird Box, which was the first movie I watched, I'm just like, you know what? I've gone through sight, now I need to go through sound. So I've instant progression to A Quiet Place. But Bird Box is really good. The cinematography is wonderful. The acting is really good. Well, there's a couple of characters in there that you're just like, I hate you. Why did you do that? You stupid, stupid. But the same thing in all type of apocalyptic survival scenarios where some character does something stupid, so you're instantly, you know, just like, oh, I hate you, what have you done that for? Because you're safe at home and don't know what's going on. So, Bird Box, excellent, great acting. Sandra Bullock's great. Everyone else has got, I can't remember the other guys, one of the other guys' names. He's been in a whole bunch of stuff. He's a bit crazy, bald, 70, probably. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, but really good. Check it out. It's on Netflix. It's, like I said, it's not so much scary. There are themes in that can be rather, I say, gory, because it has
John Malkovich.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. It does have suicidal themes because of the monsters obviously making someone do stuff. So there is that. But that being said, still a very entertaining movie with a semi-satisfying ending, because it's a in the book, because it's based off a book, if those of you don't
know. Is this a spoiler for the movie?
I'm not gonna say anything. It's the book is, it's slightly darker in the ending, but still ends on a hopeful note.
Okay,
so the movie's still good. Like, I think they've paid homage really well to the book.
But you're saying the book has a better ending?
I'm going to say yes.
More intense, at least.
No, not intense. It's more along the lines of a catch 22.
Okay.
So it's really good. So after you watch the movie,
read up on what the book is.
Yeah, read up on like the difference between the book and it, because they are remarkably similar. And like I said, they have paid homage to it, but they haven't gone the entire way, because the director, she likes to end her movies on hopeful notes. And whilst the ending for the book is hopeful, it does have a slightly dark overtone.
Yeah. Okay.
So check it out. Bird Box, fantastic.
Adam, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What is your mother's maiden name and your pet cat and the suburb which you grew up in?
My mother's maiden name cannot be pronounced by mortal tongue, mainly because she sleeps upside down.
Can it be typed into a bank security question?
It could, but if you want that to happen and basically your laptop to melt and basically your hand reach up out of the slag and drag your face into the burning wiring.
Oh, not again. That was pretty hard to get out of last time.
Yep. She's, don't try and scam her. But,
okay, I've got a real question for you.
All right. I eagerly await.
What's your favorite song at the moment?
Well, I'm glad
it
you said...
It better be something I made or we are no longer friends. I'm just kidding.
So, Adam's like, on the next question.
next segment.
So, at the moment, so my favorite song constantly shifts. I usually like One Republic. I like a lot of their songs. Pretty cruisy.
Ooh.
But anyway, at the moment, and I came across this like entirely by accident, because I was looking for specific artwork from, and guess what, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another part of We're Mentioning Patrick Rothfuss's Works Again.
No. Here we go.
We're not going to spend time on it, so it's fine. I was looking for specific artwork of Ori from Name of the Wind, Wise Men's Fear, and So We Got a Silent Things, because some of the artwork they've put out there is really, really nice, like fan-made stuff. And I wanted something for my phone background. And I saw when I put it into Google that there was a band named Ori. Now, normally if I see something like this, I literally just ignore it to find something else. And I would have, except something caught my eye. A little tagline that said, Ori has like some of the music and what have you is based off Patrick Rothfuss's works. And instantly I'm just like, I need to find a song. So The first song I listened to is the first song that captured my attention and made me listen to their other stuff, and it is glorious. It is called Night 13 by the band Ori. It is delightfully poetic. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. The melody is haunting and gorgeous, and we're going to play a snippet for you right now. Glorious, isn't it? It's just wonderful.
A bit like the book.
Some of it is. Like, the lyrics are just incredible. Like, this timeless, weightless fall, the calming mother's call. Oh, just those lyrics are just glorious. But regardless, if you like it, they are on Spotify. Check them out. I know they've got something on YouTube, but I'm hesitant to always, ever look at film clips because they just don't live up to the expectation in my mind of what I see. So check that one out. But John, what is your favorite song at the moment?
Well, I don't really have any quite so emotional, evocative songs currently in my playing list.
No, see?
So I apologize for that. There's no story attached. But basically, this song just came on Spotify radio and I was like, this is pretty cool.
So nice.
I can play you a snippet, and maybe I'll think of something a bit more significant if we do this segment later on.
Fair enough. Let's listen.
Now, when I played that for Adam, I proceeded to do the most
headbanging guitar riff. I mean, he was dancing like a madman. I mean, I've never seen such grace in my life. He moved like the wind and sea.
By grace, he means
he fell over
crazy
a chair.
Movements. No. but yes, a friend of ours was filming once, and my wife and I and a bunch of friends needed to be sitting around at a table just chatting to each other.
Yes.
And my wife pointed out that even when I'm just acting normally, I am overacting. She was like, you can't move that much. And I was like, this is how I normally move.
I'm evocative. I like to be emotionally movement.
So yes. I was not in the final. Oh, I was edited out of the final.
Bugger,
part of that.
That's so sad.
But yes, I am quite a, what's the word?
Evocative.
Let's go with that.
Let's go with that. Yep. So yeah, those are at the moment our two favorite songs. Basically, we just wanted to put that out there because we like supporting our favorite artists and what have you. So give them a listen.
I forgot to say mine is Tokyo Nights by Digital Farm Animals.
Digital Farm Animals. Check it out. They're good.
It's been a while since we've had a science fact on the show.
Hey, we're always right with our science facts. Nobody.
What do you mean by right, though?
Facts. Science is all about interpretation.
It's more about how you feel, science.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel that our science has always been spot on right. 100% always.
I mean, never mind all the redactions and corrections that we've done. And
the grey goo theory.
Those redactions.
The grey goo theory is still stands firm, okay?
Grey goo is the thought experiment, okay? So yes, last time we attempted to talk about science, in an effort to make sure that we didn't have any scientific inaccuracies, we summarized the whole thing through the context of magic.
And it was perfect.
There were no flaws because the whole thing was made up.
The Wizards of the White Tower. Yes, indeed.
Oh, wow.
So good.
That's nuclear physics for you. Explain
simplified
it like I'm five.
With magic. It's great. Yep, that's how you should do it as well.
So I was bringing this up at work. I cannot remember the context, but basically it's quantum immortality.
You have my attention.
I'm pretty sure everyone just looked at me like I was crazy when I was trying to explain it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take that crazy
and put it onto the podcast.
You thought Adam was the crazy one. Well, have I got news for you?
I've been trying to warn them for quite some time.
I just have the, I have more of a pleasant packaging. Like, it takes a while to, no, I did, oh no. I meant like, you get through the ogre layers, and then on the inside.
Ogre?
No, of me. I'm the ogre.
You just called me an ogre.
Let's start again. No, but basically, I was talking about quantum immortality. This is a fascinating concept. Are you looking it up on Wikipedia right
now? You can't prove it.
You really are, so you can be like, oh yeah, I already know about this.
I don't. I know nothing about quantum immortality.
Okay. So this is more of a thought experiment again. Like, it's not something that is perhaps that useful to think about in our daily lives in terms of this is something that is happening. But it's a fascinating, fascinating thought experiment, and I'll give you a use case for it later on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so basically it goes like this, and I may be getting some parts slightly
wrong. No, 100%, mate.
Because just based on my previous track record, I tend to over-summarize to the point of, well, let's just face it, inaccuracy. But basically, it's this idea that there's many worlds that exist in the universe. Quantum universe, many worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics, etc., etc., etc. So there is this branch of the thought experiment that goes, let's take an example of a person. They might think, hey, my subconscious is, or not subconscious, consciousness is attached to the version of myself that is currently living. And if there's many worlds, many different universes, there's bound to be one where I live a little bit longer. So let's say, I don't know, you get into an accident wherein you die. Well, maybe there's a universe where that accident didn't happen. You tripped over a paint can and fell off some roof. I don't know. This is quite morbid.
Hey, I'm cool with that. I'm all about the morbid.
There's another universe where the paint can was slightly to the side. So you tripped over and just landed on the railing.
Mm-hmm.
And the same goes for any other cause of death. Like, say, for instance, you catch pneumonia from someone on the train. Well, that molecule, that cell of the virus just blows slightly to the left because of some radiation causing slightly different winds that blow in a different direction.
I see.
And it misses you and you don't die of pneumonia.
Okay.
So there is this idea that your consciousness itself, this isn't the whole of quantum immortality, it's just one experiment.
I just want to be immortal, John. Hurry up.
It's like quantum teleportation. You can't actually teleport.
You underestimate me.
you can't put yourself down to quantum level.
You watch me, sir.
Anyway, there's this idea that your consciousness will attach itself naturally to the other universe that manages to survive, and it will
trans-dimensional psychic bonding.
Now, there is a way to test whether this is true.
Oh, okay, you've got me. All right, go on.
All you have to do is, have you heard of the Schrodinger's cat?
Yep.
Okay, so for those who haven't, basically, you put a cat in a box and...
A metaphorical cat, by the way.
Metaphorical, no cats were harmed, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Metaphorical cat, they're pretty expensive, but they're worth it, okay? You put it in the metaphorical box, or a metaphorical cat in a real box. But basically, depending on the amount of radioactive decay, either a poisonous gas will be revealed or it won't.
Mm-hmm.
Revealed? Released. So then the idea is, because that's a quantum level thing, the amount of radioactive decay over a certain period of time or something, there is one universe, if you believe many worlds, there's one universe that is the cat doesn't die and one where it does. And there's this idea that the universe hasn't really decided, or at least your universe hasn't decided which one it is until you actually open it and get to see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in reality, that wouldn't happen because there's interactions inside the box that would collapse the wave. But it's a thought experiment on cat level, which we can then bring down to quantum level, and it actually is something worth thinking about in terms of science. But thought experiment is still cool nonetheless. Now, let's take, instead of a cat, let's put you in this box.
I'm cool
you
with that. Let's do it.
Immortality, yep. Right?
Hey, yeah, okay. Let's do it. Hey, if I can outlast this poison, which even if it releases, I'm going to survive it because I just, I don't believe in poison.
No, we've broken it. What can kill you? We have to
Nothing can kill me.
In order for you to become immortal, we have to do something that will successfully kill you, okay?
Put me in the box with a nun that will spontaneously turn and look at me at a random point.
You will get scared to death.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got this nun. Oh, that's too complicated. Let's just say something simple like a gas is released that happens to be a gas that will kill you, not one of those pansy gases.
Pansy. You think mustard gas is going to do anything to me? Please.
Okay, so what we do is we put you in a box.
Yep.
And based on radioactive decay, you will either get poisoned or you won't. And you walk out and we're like, hey, Adam, you survived. Nice one. We don't have to organize your funeral.
Oh, bugger, I already have.
But instead of just doing that once, we do it 10 billion times. Now, each time there's a 50% chance you'll survive. But we keep doing it again and again. And of course, we're going to stop if we ever find out that you didn't survive, right?
Yeah.
So the likelihood of you getting to the point at the end of the 10 billion experiments that you'll walk out and go, hey, I survived. It could happen that it just so happens that the radioactive decay was such that you didn't. Like, imagine it's a 50-cent coin being flipped. You just happen to massively luck out. The problem is that's super unlikely. So well, if we did this...
Unless I just mess things up a bit, because
no,
little do you know...
messing with the... I'm trying
in
to
box,
give you immortality, Adam.
In this box... I have a fully insulated
Adam,
suit.
No!
With endless oxygen, and I...
Adam, you're ruining the thought experiment!
Oh, sorry, folks.
Okay, let's say we do this. Adam has not found a loophole.
No, I haven't. I've just survived 10 billion, 10 billion tests with a 50% chance of death.
Yeah.
Yes.
It stands to reason that we can probably assume that some concept of quantum immortality does exist. Because Adam's consciousness has managed to latch itself. Now, I can't know this for certain because I would just say, well, I just happen to be in the universe where Adam survived. But you can know this because the likelihood of you surviving this 10 billion chances of death is just so infinitesimal. How do you say it? It's just quite small that you can probably say, oh, you know what? Quantum immortality theory is real. So, I've prepared a box for you today, and we're going to do this experiment.
Oh my goodness, this is maybe the happiest man alive.
We're not going to do it. That would be unethical. and also morbid, and a lot of funerals across the many multiverse. Multiverse funerals, that would be the name of the episode. yeah, so that's the idea. And there's no way to disprove it, because everyone listening to this right now, you yourself are alive. Now, you may have had a pet that has died in the past, and so you think, well, no, quantum immortality can't exist because that pet did die. However, that's... What? You yeah. Wife's listening in, and she decided that I did call
you. You did. Okay. Yeah, you did.
I didn't call you in Ogre. I was talking about myself. Anyway, so you may think that your childhood pet did die, but for your... For you yourself, you haven't died yet.
No.
So for your pet, from its point of view, it jumped from the universe where it died and into another one where it didn't die and is still alive.
Oh, I see.
But you don't know that because you're not in that universe. You're in a different universe where you keep surviving.
I see.
No one test out this theory and disprove it, okay?
Don't need to
disprove
it. It's
a thought experiment. It's interesting to think about.
I don't need to prove it. I know it's me. I am the immortal quantum mechanical genius of destiny. That
well,
is my
in
title.
Your universe, yes, but in mine.
No. All the same universe. Yeah.
There's only one universe, and it's the one.
It's the one I exist. I bind all universes together.
I think there's a word for that. It's another thought experiment. It's called narcissism.
No. I am a self-loathing narcissist. Let's be honest. So that. So what you're saying is, John, that we should all try and get in a box with a vial of poison?
No, I'm saying the complete opposite. Don't do this. It's a thought experiment. Just think about.
Oh, okay, rightio. That's, so what you're saying is we should think about getting inside a box with vials of poison.
No. Well, kind of. I guess. Thought experiments suck. Okay, I did promise a useful use case for this theory. Okay, yep. Besides you getting to live forever and taking over the universe and finally be able to max out your skills on World of Warcraft.
No, not doing that anymore, but yeah.
Or finish Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, that's where it's at.
What the useful use case for this is, you can just quite simply... What? Wait, are you making hand gestures and secret sign language?
We have a secret language.
Is this the quiet place of the aliens going to come since I've been talking loudly? Oh my gosh. We can't really do a podcast if there's
aliens. Oh yeah, we really can't do a podcast with sign language. Yeah.
Anyway, I was telling you the use case, but you got distracted.
I did, sorry.
One of the big problems in computer science is, what is the most efficient way to sort a set of numbers? That in itself is not that useful, but it helps with future problems.
Okay.
So what's the most efficient way to do it? You just look at every single one and put them in order? Do you take one and compare it? Do you just take two at a time? Do you split it in half, sort those, and then interleave them? There's all different ways to do it with varying levels of complexities. Adam is blinking with the blind look, but you did tell me to mention computer stuff, and that's what reminded me of this.
Yeah.
Okay. So my job's got to be useful somehow, okay? Besides, like, you know...
So all the programmers out there, you're about to get some amazing insights here.
So there's this new sorting theory that you can use if the quantum immortality theory is true. Because it doesn't matter if, say, for instance, the universe blew up, because we will just teleport to the universe that didn't blow up.
Okay.
I know this is an oversimplification of quantum immortality.
Tyson's going to love this.
Run with me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So what we do is, instead of trying to sort like 1,000 numbers, because that takes a while, just randomize it and check to see if it is sorted.
Hey, I'm cool with that.
Blow up the entire universe.
I'm loving this.
But you've got to use quantum randomness to decide to randomly resort it. So what will happen is, everyone who's alive will just teleport, their consciousness will transfer to the universe that didn't blow up, which happened to be the one where the numbers were completely sorted.
Wouldn't that get really crowded though? Like, no, I'm talking about multiple personality syndrome here. I mean, so many of my counterparts must have died horribly and their consciousness is transferred to me.
No.
That explains
quantum
why I'm so messed up.
Quantum isn't a new brain teleporting in.
No, that's how it is for me now.
It's just you now experience the brain of the one that survived. Anyway, so it's quite excessive. Just randomize every time you want to sort something. Just randomize it, hope for the best, blow up the universe if it doesn't work. It's excessive, but there's a useful use case for quantum immortality now. We've talked about nerdy, weird stuff for too long.
Yep, we have. But that's all right, because that is what this podcast is about. So what I say now, ladies and gentlemen, as we will inevitably lead towards the destruction of our universe through simply sorting 1,000 numbers, because let's face it, I'm cool with that, we're going to listen to some music. John, who have you got for us today?
Well, one of my friends is an extremely talented musician who makes orchestral sounds, orchestral songs, kind of like the one I played a couple of weeks ago. That I made, except he actually has all the sound libraries, so instead of sounding like a cheesy keyboard playing the strings...
It's not cheesy, it's fantastic.
His sound, amazing. So I'm going to play one for you now.
I do like it. And for our listeners.
Yeah, I think we all are a big fan of movies, TV shows...
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Those kinds of soundtracks.
I mean, if you're listening to this without liking those musics, then something is wrong with you, and you should go see a psychiatrist. And this is the song that will lead you there. Thank you. incredibly rousing. It's got some good beats to it. Yeah, pretty cool. I like it.
When you're listening to orchestral music and it's not attached to a show, it's just someone's built it out of passion and emotion.
But my mind
imagining a story.
Yeah, no,
a movie that
my mind immediately attaches something like just, I don't know, like I've read that many books and have read so many action scenes that my mind will immediately attach to a random point that has not been made into a movie yet. Oh, it's so good. I love it so much.
So thank you very much. If you want to check out his songs, basically, it's on every service, I'm pretty sure, Spotify, iTunes,
all that. We'll also put a link in our show notes.
It's Michael Ellery Media.
Sounds good. Check him out,
folks.
And
the new album is called From Where We Came. I would have preferred From Whence We Came.
Oh, yeah, nice.
But we'll help him with his next album.
Everything, it's all to do with naming. Oh, no, it's great. More Name of the Wind. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Surviving the Apocalypse, The Nerd's Way. We hope you've had a wonderful time with our service. Please keep your hands and feet inside the carriage at all times.
You remind me of Barbie at the end of Toy Story.
Not the look I was going for, John. I mean, I know I do have... No, I'm not going to say that. So...
That's the end of the podcast. Yeah. I don't think we can talk
now. Thank you for listening, folks. Find us on all the medias. Twitter, we're on that. Email us at Surviving the Apocalypse. Email, John, you know this better than I do.
If you want to find us on Twitter, thenerdsway_pod. Email us at thenerdsway@gmail.com. Please send us some emails because at the moment I'm getting spammed by our t-shirt company who keeps telling us to insert our payment details. Because apparently they think so many people are going to buy our t-shirts that we're going to need our payment details in there. But
yeah. Who knows? I want to buy those t-shirts.
We haven't actually officially linked or posted anything about the t-shirts, but there is a special prize which Adam will give you if you manage to find and purchase one of our t-shirts. The first person to do it will get Adam's firstborn dog.
Yes, because I only give birth to dogs.
All right, the first person to...
No, I'll give him a prize.
Okay, I'm excited. I want to know what it is, but I am disqualified, obviously.
Yes, you are most certainly disqualified. And if you give it to anybody, I will hunt you, John, and I will shoot you in the thigh my bow and arrow.
Because right now, there's only one shirt in existence.
That's true. We should get some made. Anyway, yes. Thank you for listening. Yeah, this is more of a conversation to have off-air. So thank you so much for listening. We'll have a whole bunch of stuff in the show notes if you want to check out. We've got our New Year's themes this year. We talked about The Quiet Place and Bird Box, our current favorite songs. Mine is Night 13 by the artists Ori, and John is Tokyo Nights. I said indeed about 27,000 times last episode without getting slapped, but John rectified this episode. John spoke about quantum immortality and how basically I can survive anything.
Michael
Ellery's music, his orchestral music. It was glorious. Yep, I hope you enjoyed all that. And let's not forget, I'll always be immortal. Thanks for listening.
No, hang on. Oh.